This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Well, some people don't need an introduction.
Well,
and I don't think we have to introduce Jeff Passan. He's godlike. That's Jeff Passan.
Well, can we do an introduction for him?
If you'd like, sure, go.
Whoa, stop that.
Oh, that's not the intro.
Well, no, it is the intro, but I want to explain. You know that there are Woj bombs, Michael.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think we've learned recently that you could only describe what happened today as passing gas.
I got to tell you what. I'm offended, and I'm sure that Jeff is too. I'm offended. Jeff, I'm sorry for that. I had no control over it.
Jeff, are you offended?
Farts are so funny.
Yeah. Really, that's what bails everything out. Honestly,
so,
whether you're offended or not, it's still funny.
Hold on.
That's the thing. Am I offended? No. Is it kind of Sarah Spain, by the way, started this a couple of years ago.
Okay.
If it's a Woj bomb, then is the equivalent passing gas. And I'd say, you know, I was like, as I've gotten older, I've learned the more you fight something you don't like, the more people actually like grab onto it and
That's
use
right.
it. So I just lived with it, but I've never heard it with the sound effects before.
So,
the sound effects, that actually makes it tolerable. Like, I'm down with it if you throw the fart noises at me.
So, real quick, before we get to the Lindor stuff, which is gigantic, we were talking during the break. They said, Passan's coming on. We made the Passan gas joke. And that music we just played is for a caller we have, Jeff, whose name is John Tush. So, because John Tesh made the NBA theme right. song, we have the John Tush. So they said, "Will Jeff get it?" And I said, "No, but Jeff's a big enough nerd to appreciate a fart version of the NBA song."
I never realized that I would repeat third grade 42 years later.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Peter understands this. And I'm pretty sure that this goes for everybody who's listening here too. Like, if you're a Jewish person, you just think farts are funny.
I didn't know that was a Jewish thing.
I didn't know that was that goes along religious lines. I didn't realize that.
I think so. I think that Jews love farts. I don't know why. But look.
Wow. That's a drop.
Wow. It's a drop. By the way, we have a new drop whenever Jeff comes on the show.
Wow. All right.
Farts are so funny.
Tell me anything. That is a negative about the Mets trade for Lindor. I can't find it other than the fact he's going to be a free agent, but Cohen has money, and that shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, but Michael, okay, listen, I'm not going to be the proverbial turd or fart in the punch bowl here, but the amount of money there matters.
Right.
If you're going to re-sign Francisco Lindor, And I think that they're going to do everything they can to give him an extension so that he doesn't hit free agency. It better not be an overpay, right? Like, I think you look at what the Dodgers did last year with Mookie Betts. And if we can compare those two because they're similar scenarios, but we also have to look at the fact that the Mets are essentially casting their lot with this trade. And they're essentially backing themselves into a corner here. They could have gone after Francisco Lindor this offseason as a free agent. They also could have gone after Trevor Story this offseason. They could have gone after Javier Baez this offseason. They could have gone after Corey Seager this offseason. And they could have gone after Carlos Correa this offseason. Mookie Betts was one of one. Francisco Lindor may arguably be the best of those five shortstops, but he's one of five. And when you're the team that has the big checkbook that everybody wants to go to, that's the cool team in town now, you get your pick of the litter. And so by going out and getting Francisco Lindor, they gave him a whole lot more leverage, I think, than he would have had in any other situation. And they said, you are our choice. And I think that if there's any questioning, Michael, it would be of the wisdom – in choosing Lindor over the other guys just for the sake of having him for 1 year, because that's essentially the choice that they made.
But is he better than the other four?
I let's put it this way. I've had this discussion. Honestly, for the last 2 months as I've been making free agent calls, every executive, every player, every agent I talk with, I ask, rank the shortstops 1 to 5. Lindor's never lower than 3. He is often 1. I don't have him at 1, personally.
Who do you have at 1?
I think I have Story at 1.
Okay.
Which is surprising, which is an uncommon opinion, and with some an unpopular opinion. I just think Story is the complete package of hitting, fielding, and running. I think the scary part to me with Lindor is the on base, and I understand that I'm picking nits here. Let me just say this: Francisco Lindor is a wondrous player to watch. Like, I really, truly enjoy watching him play baseball. I think he's phenomenal. I think he is a great leader. I think defensively he's marvelous. I think on the base paths he's excellent. I worry about the fact that the last 2 years he's had a .335 on base percentage. That concerns me. But he is, if you're going to build, around a guy, he's not a bad one to build around. And he's younger than Story as well. And Story, of course, has the fact that he's been in Colorado his whole career, and that tends to inflate numbers. So if you want to make the argument for Lindor, I think that's perfectly fine. I think short-term Corey Seager actually is the answer. But well, probably because of his size is not going to be a shortstop long-term. So, I think plays into it as well. I'll be quick here. Javier Baez is arguably the best one defensively, and Carlos Correa probably is the most naturally talented of all of them. So they all have good things going in their favor.
Well, let me counter your concern about they put all the leverage on him. All right, so they traded 2 shortstops and two young prospects, lottery tickets the Indians got. Okay. But they have Francisco Lindor for this year, and they certainly like to make a splash this year. And let's say they can't sign him. Let's say he's asking for outrageous numbers. Well, then he becomes a free agent, and they get compensation, and they go out and sign one of the other 4 guys.
Yeah, totally.
So, and they got a shortstop this year.
Totally reasonable, Michael. At that point, though, I think that Jimenez, Rosario, Green and Wolf is an incredibly high price to pay for what would amount to Lindor and a first-round pick. I think at that point, you just got taken in the deal. They made this deal with the idea of signing Francisco Lindor to be a Met for the rest of his life.
But Jeff, let's say they gave up those 2 players and the two minor leaguers, and they get Lindor for 2021, and let's throw this out, they get Correa for the next 7 years. So they sent those 4 players for 8 years of great shortstopping.
No, I don't look at it like
they still get a shortstop.
They're going to get a shortstop regardless, but they didn't have to trade. If you're going to go sign someone in free agency, my point is you didn't have to trade, 4 guys to go out and do it.
But they would not have gotten a shortstop for 2021. I mean, Steve Cohen probably wants to make a splash.
Correct. But if is this going to preclude them from getting Springer or Bauer, or maybe instead of making the trade for Lindor, could they have gone out and gotten Springer and Bauer? These are all questions that I think play into that. But to me, with Lindor, they are saying you're our guy. If they don't re-sign him, Michael, this was a bad trade.
Oh, okay. I don't think there's any question about that.
If they do not re-sign him, this was a bad trade.
Steve Cohen just tweeted out 5 minutes ago, I know this trade seems to be creating excitement, but let's get back to what really matters, the black jerseys. He seems like he's having fun owning this team.
Yeah, it must be nice to be worth $15 billion.
Right.
I'll take it.
And that's why I don't think there's any chance they don't re-sign him. You know, if this yeah. deal had been made in a previous regime, that would be the number one talking point, that they probably got a rental they're going to end up losing. But I don't even think yeah. that's on the table.
Michael, let me ask you this. With those other four guys available in free agency,
right?
What do you give Francisco Lindor? What's your ceiling on what you want to get to resign him? Is Francisco Lindor a $300 million player?
I would try 7 years, 210. Okay. He's going to want more. I mean, the years are always going to come yeah. into play. But, I mean, $30 million a year, I think, is where you have to start. Don't you agree?
I think so. And I think if he's asking for 10, then he should. I personally do not believe he's a $300 million player. I think Mookie Betts was. I think Mike Trout is. I think Juan Soto is. I think Fernando Tatis is. There are a number of guys out there who I see as $300-plus million guys. I do not see Francisco Lindor as that.
Do you think he's just below, like one tier below?
Yeah, I do. I think he's great. I think he's phenomenal. I think to me the best part of Francisco Lindor, no one knows it because we're not inside the clubhouse. He is a leader. He is a dude in there. He commands respect. He is bilingual, so he can go and have conversations, tough conversations, like this year when Mike Clevenger and Zach Plesac went out. Francisco Lindor was pissed, and he was among the most vocal players inside that clubhouse about the irresponsibility that his teammates showed. And I think a lot of people respected Lindor before that. I think afterward the respect was even higher because they saw that this isn't a guy who cowers when it's a difficult conversation, puts his money where his mouth is. And he's a guy who you want there on the field and inside the clubhouse.
And I think that is a big deal. I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff, because since David Wright left, they really haven't mm-hmm. had that, to the point where you saw a rookie in Alonso step up because he probably saw that there wasn't the leadership in that room. And that's a lot to put on a kid's plate. So to have somebody sure. come in there and at least help him from the leadership role, because Alonso's still developing as a player, I think that's big for a team that looks like they're trying to compete.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, clubhouse has never been one of the Mets' great strengths in recent years. I think that's something that Sandy Alderson and Jared Porter are going to try to do, to build a good cohesive clubhouse. And starting with Francisco Lindor is about as good as you can get.
Do you think there's a chance that he never gets the free agency?
Lindor? Oh, yeah. I would say that it's likelier than not.
Okay.
I think that it's I don't think they give up as much as they did in this deal if they don't have a real idea that they're going to be able to re-sign him. To give him an extension before he hits free agency.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, before we let you go, Jeff, we're talking with Jeff Passan on the Michael Kay Show. Does this impact the Yankees' ability to sign LeMahieu? Because we're hearing that the Dodgers were part of the group of teams that were negotiating with the Indians for Lindor. So now that they don't get Lindor, would they have an increased interest in LeMahieu?
Wherever you heard that, that person's wrong. The Dodgers were never in on Lindor.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. Thank you. That's why we have you on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Dodgers, and I'll be honest, I don't think the Dodgers are all that great a threat on LeMahieu either. I just don't think they're going to go to the level financially where he wants, what he deserves, and what he ultimately is going to get. I think they're there for the discount, and they're there to say, hey, you want a ring? We'll get you one here. But I don't see the Dodgers as being real players with LeMahieu. I think it's going to come down to two teams. It's going to be the Yankees and whichever non-Yankees team is willing to pay the most money. And DJ LeMahieu is going to have to say to himself, what am I doing here? Am I chasing the money, which is something that I think throughout his career he has never done and never prioritized and probably is not going to now? Or are the Yankees disrespecting me with their offer to the point where this isn't about money, it's about what I deserve. It's about who I am as a player and the work that I've put in someone recognizing it commensurate to that effort. And if the Yankees, I'll say this right now, if the Yankees do not show the kind of respect to DJ LeMahieu that he wants, he will leave. He will leave. I just don't think he wants to. And I don't think he wants it to get to that point. But every day that goes by with him unsigned, guys, getting one day closer to that point where he says, what are we doing right now? I want to go somewhere where they want me as much as I want them.
Was Lindor a plan B for the Yankees if they didn't sign LeMahieu?
Nah, I don't think. I think Lindor, I think that's part of why the Mets got Lindor. I just don't think there were a lot of options. I think it was Toronto and them. And in the end, they're the ones who stepped up.
Good stuff. Would you like to hear your theme song now again? As you lead your way out? All right. Let's hit that again, Anthony.
Jews love farts.
It's infantile. It really is.
Well, true.
You're above this. You're above this. You've let him hear
that's
you
why
down.
That's why he competes for number one, because he's not above things.
I'm not above this at all.
Farts are so
you know
funny.
What, too? I want to throw this out while you're still on, Jeff. Here's why I think you're number one.
Wow.
You didn't mince words. He didn't sit there and go, I think that source is incorrect. I'm not sure about that. No. That's wrong. They were not in on him. He doesn't sugarcoat it. They're wrong. That's what I want. That's what makes you number one.
Wow.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate that. Wow. Michael, maybe you should listen to your co-host here.
Buddy, you're a solid number two. I've always said that.
I got to tell you,
now we're back
Jeff,
to the fart jokes again.
Jeff, you
solid number two?
Number two.
Yeah.
That's better than a loose one.
I caught it. I caught it.
But, you know, you being so good put such a battery in Steve Young's back that he had the best season he's ever had.
Really? Yeah, he really wanted to be better than you.
You know, here's the thing, guys. I don't know that I'm Francisco Lindor, but when I walk into a clubhouse, it becomes a better place. I'm happy to have done that for you guys.
Wow. I hate to come around to this one, but you're kind of cocky.
I'm just saying that when I go somewhere, I want to make the people around me better. That's really important to me. I feel like being a part of a good, like being
That's
a
right.
good teammate is a really important thing. So
beautiful.
This isn't about me and what I think of myself. It's about
right.
me and putting the effort forth to ensure that others can find their best. And
wow.
and if I help Steve Young find his best because he was slacking beforehand, because he took you guys for granted, hey, I'm glad that I was part of that, because now this show is better. And if Steve's better for this show, then that's what I'm here for.
Wow. It's a beautiful Hanukkah story. Really.
It really,
really
is.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff.
Have a great day.
Thanks,
good Yontif, guys.
Good Yontif.
Bye. Wow.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.